You're listening to episode 332 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy you're here. We are diving into a topic that I find fascinating. I find completely fascinating, and it's probably not surprising because I spend a lot of my time talking. I do the podcast, I do public speaking, I teach a lot for a lot of my work. It's not surprising that I find communication very interesting to think about. Now, before we dive into this episode, I want to give you some scenarios and tell me if any of these sound familiar. Have you ever been talking to someone and you felt like they just weren't understanding what you were saying? Or maybe you're in a relationship with someone. It could be a romantic relationship, it could be a friendship, or even just a professional relationship with a coworker or your boss. And you're looking at this person and you can't believe they never ask you for your thoughts. Or maybe it's the flip side. You're looking at them and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have to pry information out of you. And let's do one more. Have you ever been in an important conversation with somebody, but you ended up talking over each other? It's almost as if you're in this ballroom dance, but both of you are trying to lead at the same time. It turns out that understanding your communication style and understanding the communication style of other important people in your life, it can help you communicate so much more effectively and effortlessly. And that is what we're talking about today in this episode. Okay, so I'm going to kick this one off with a little personal story. Shh, don't tell my husband. My husband is an ER physician, and just think about that job for a second. His job, it's full of stories that are more interesting than you can possibly imagine. I mean, some of the craziest things. And also, there's a lot of emotion involved in his job. I mean, if you think about who comes to him, people come to him in some of the worst possible health circumstances, and things don't always turn out well for his patients. Now, way back when, this is quite a while ago, but after we had been dating a while, at the beginning of our relationship, he came home from work one day and, you know, we spent some time just chatting and talking about our day. Or at least that's what it felt like to me. And afterward, after this conversation, he seemed really genuinely hurt. And after talking about it, it turns out he was feeling like I never asked him how his day went or asked him really any questions about his day. Now, I will admit, my initial response in that situation, it was not very empathetic. I didn't do a very good job. I responded by saying, well, you don't ask me either. You don't have to ask me. I just tell you. And that, my friends, was an important lesson. I learned an important lesson that day. My husband is what's called an ask communicator, and I am what's called a tell communicator. So with that little story, little personal anecdote, let's back up a little bit. Over 30 years ago, there are two researchers, David Merrill and Roger Reed. They developed a model called the social style model of communication. Now, this model, like I said, over three decades old, and it's evolved a bit over time, but I still find it to be a really helpful model for understanding communication because it's so clear, it's simplistic, but also does a good job of describing a lot of detail. So I love this model and I want to talk about it in a bit of detail today. In this model, there are two different dimensions. So think of them as, think of like a chart, right? And there's an x-axis dimension and there's a y-axis dimension. And when you plot them, it divides people into four different boxes or four different social styles of communication. And if you know what your style is and you know the style of other important people in your life, pause for a second and think who those people are. It's likely the people in your immediate family or even your extended family if you interact with them quite a bit. It's your good friends. It's your coworkers and your boss. It's those important people who it's important to you that you effectively and clearly and empathetically communicate with them. Those groups of people, if you know what their style of communication is, oh my gosh, can this improve the quality of your conversations? So let's talk about these two dimensions. What are they? The first dimension is something called assertiveness. It is a dimension that is basically plotting the degree to which people see us as, you know, volunteering information. Do we just tell people what we're thinking? So those are, that's the tell side. Or do people have to ask us? So people on the ask side of the continuum, they seem more reserved in conversations. They maybe seem like they hold back or they're less likely to volunteer information. They might ask more questions of you. They might be a bit more indirect, and they may engage in the conversation by building off of what others say rather than like laying the foundation or bringing up a topic themselves. Now, on the flip side of that, so those are ask communicators. That's my husband. On the flip side of that, there are tell communicators. Tell communicators are pretty direct. They might initiate more conversations. They may bring up more topics or more new topics or, you know, kind of direct the conversation rather than just responding to what others are saying or asking. They're more likely to just tell you what's on their mind without you asking, to tell you what happened in their day that day without you even needing to ask. Now, right off the bat, just with that first continuum, just with this, you know, assertiveness continuum, you can see why my husband's and my different communication styles, they caused some minor friction early on. We didn't communicate as well as we do today. And to put it bluntly, I, the tell communicator, I would be there just blathering away about my day, and he, the ask communicator, was sitting there waiting for me to take an interest in him. I mean, talk about a hilarious mismatch and just not realizing that something so simple as ask the man a question could have cleared up so much friction. So I talked about, you know, this assertiveness continuum, but there's another one. And this is, think about this as the up and down part of this like X and Y axis, the Y axis. There's a continuum of responsiveness. So on one end, there are people who emote. Emotive people, you might recognize them because they use more inflection in their voice. They may use more hand gestures. They use stories to make a point. And you may notice that like their face is pretty animated. You can read emotion, confusion, all of that. You can read it on their face because their face changes a lot when they talk. On the flip side of that one, instead of emoting, there are people who are more controlling. So instead of emote, they control. You might see these people using more of a monotone tone of voice. They don't vary their voice as much. They might rely on facts or tasks or sort of black and white items like that to make a point rather than stories. They probably gesture less with their hands, and their faces likely don't reveal what they're thinking or feeling in the moment. Now, I have since, you know, being in that situation or several of those situations with my husband early on, and then learning about this model of communication, I have since learned that on this continuum, I am an emote and my husband is a control. So if you put these two continuums together, they are the ask versus tell, and then the emote versus control, you end up with four boxes or four main communication styles. So let's run through those. And again, think about people in your life. Think about yourself right now. Which of these sounds like you? First of all, there's me. I am a tell emoter. I'm what's called an expressive communicator. I tend to be outgoing. I tend to bring a lot of energy to conversations. P.S. As I'm saying this, this might be why I love public speaking. Now that I sit and think about it, which is so funny, right? All of these concepts we talk about on this podcast, it's like peeling an onion back. We're just revealing more layers. And here's another one that I just hadn't thought about before. But I love public speaking probably because I love the energy and the outgoing nature of communication, or what it can be. I tend to be seen, or people who are expressive communicators tend to be seen as personable. People see us as talkative. We can also be seen as opinionated. That's true. And we might seem impulsive because we're going to openly express what we're feeling. And that might be a positive emotion, but that could also be negative emotions as well. So wide range of emotions that are expressed. So that is what it sounds like if you are a tell slash emoter, or what's called an expressive communicator. Let's go to my husband. He is an ask slash controller. He's what's called an analytical communicator. He's more thoughtful. To people who maybe don't know him well, he can seem distant or reserved at times. That definitely sounds like him. Sometimes he might even seem standoffish if he's in a situation where maybe he doesn't know you really well. He's also a lot less likely to outwardly express his emotion. And as I was digging into some research and content to put this session or this episode together, I just busted out laughing because my joke sometimes with him, you know, since we've dug into this together and understood what it means for our relationships, he'll come home and he literally will have the same face that he has when he's completely calm. He'll just look normal and calm. And then his voice will come out in this monotone voice and he'll say, "Wow, I'm really fired up about this situation right now." In like the calmest way. I can't even tell you what my face would look like and what my voice might sound like, but he's just steady Eddie and his face looks just calm, like it normally does. Anyway, so I just had to share that because that's literally how he sounds sometimes. He is an ask slash controller. He is an analytical communicator to the T. Let's go through the other two. Somebody who is an ask slash emoter, so they're an ask like my husband, but they're an emoter like me, they're what's called an amiable communicator. They come off as the most friendly person. They're also very open to displaying their feelings, and they can be very agreeable in conversations. They might seem more, I guess, casual or easygoing, because unlike somebody who is more of a control versus an emote, they're not going to try to direct the conversation or control the conversation. They're kind of going with the flow with the conversation. So that's an amiable communicator. They are ask and emoter. And finally, the last one is somebody who is a tell communicator like me and a controller like my husband. They're what's called a driving communication style. Drivers can come off as feeling a bit controlling. They can be fast-paced. They can be very, say, goal-oriented, super direct, forceful, active. They're just a very confident, almost feeling communicator. So that is a driver or someone who is a tell slash controller. So I'm going to go through those one more time. There's an expressive communicator. They're a tell emoter. There is an analytical communicator. They're an ask controller. There's an amiable communicator. They're an ask emoter. And then there's a driving communicator. They're a tell controller. And now after thinking about these, you can totally see why knowing your style and the style of other people in your life, how that could improve your communication. And imagine, especially in situations where maybe your opinions differ from the other person. You're talking about politics or any of the stuff that just derails into a crazy comment thread on social media, any of those conversations or topics, or, you know, maybe when emotions are involved, right? Somebody's feeling angry or sad or jealous or even just really happy, right? Like the high, not even high arousal emotions, just when there are emotions involved. And finally, if you have to communicate a tough message, I'm looking at you right now, leaders of people. If you have to deliver feedback to a team member, knowing your communication style, and especially run some empathy on this and know their communication style, that conversation is going to go so much better. Think about it. I want you to think about some of the most difficult conversations you've had to have in your life. Think back. If you would have known this then, would you have approached them differently? If you would have known this, would you have thought about the conversation a little bit differently before entering into it? The last thing I'll note is, if you've listened to those four styles, think about how you react in different situations. Your communication style in a scenario like a work setting might be different than your communication style in a personal relationship setting. It may vary with different people in your life. You might be able to be more direct, more, or even feel, say, psychologically safe to be an emoter more so with certain people versus others. So spend some time, talked about onions, peeling the layers back. Spend some time thinking about yourself, observe your own behaviors, observe others around you, and start to notice these four communication styles and get good at picking up on them. Now, up next, I want to leave you with some actionable tips. We're going to talk about some tips for communicating more effectively with people who are in each of the four different communication styles. And then right at the end, I'm going to give you a couple of other resources that you can turn to if communication is something that you're working on right now. So stay with me. I have some good stuff coming up. Okay, before we wrap up today, let's talk about some quick tips for communicating more effectively with each of the four styles. And before I jump in here, you might need to pause right now, but I want you to think back to those four styles and think of somebody in your life who falls into each category as we go over them. So as we hit each one of these, you may want to pause and just like have somebody in mind, because I find that having a tangible example or an actual person who you might try this out with next time makes these tips much easier to implement, because you've kind of got an intention, right? Like, let's start with the first one, a driver, somebody who is a tell/control communicator. Maybe your best friend is a driver, right? Think about how you might engage with them or communicate with them differently. So some tips. With drivers, you want to keep it short. You want to get to the point. These are fast-paced, cut to the chase kind of people. And also, make sure they know what's in it for them. Like, why are they engaged in this conversation? Why should I care? You know, sometimes to use a little tip from public speaking, we say, before you say anything about yourself, you want to start any speech or any speaking engagement with something called a hook. Give the audience a reason to care first. You might want to use a hook with a driver. Get them to know why this conversation even matters to them before you start to dive into the meat of what you want to tell them. And then get to the point. So that's a driver, a tell slash control. Expressives, that's me, a tell slash emote. Sell the big idea. Start with the big, exciting idea. And I will be the first to say, I will listen to you if this is the case, be enthusiastic about it. Don't necessarily get into the details right away. The way to hook an expressive person is to go big and go exciting. And I know for a fact that this hooks me. So that's what you want to do with an expressive, a tell slash emote communicator. Now for amiable communicators, these are ask slash emote communicators. Here you're talking with folks who almost want to feel safe. So you want to try to minimize risk in the conversation. You also want to build consensus. Empathy is going to be your friend here. Lean hard there. You want to make sure you talk about, you know, if the topic you're talking about is going to involve other people, make sure you bring their point of view into the conversation so that you can talk about how those other people might be impacted by whatever it is that you're talking about. So that's amiable or ask slash emote communicators. And finally, analytical communicators. These are ask slash control communicators. There's this funny quote in data science. Some of my day job work is still in data science, and it's by a guy named Deming. And he says, in God we trust, all others bring data. And that's really how you communicate with an analytical person, like my husband. Bring the data. Be rational. Give a rational argument. Go step by step. Think about checking boxes. And then, and this is an important nuance, give them some time. Because this is the type of person who might need to process a little bit. They, because of the ask side of their communication style, they might not volunteer their thoughts and opinions about the topic immediately in that conversation. So think about, you know, giving them, making your argument, bringing data, step by step, outlining everything, and then give them some time and go back and ask their opinion later on. Remember, you're going to have to ask them likely later on. All right, so those are my hot tips for communicating more effectively with all four of the communication styles that we talked about. Last two things I want to leave you with in this episode. We've done a ton on communication in the past in the podcast, and I want to highlight two episodes. Each of these episodes are from like two of my favorite guests. They are just lovely human beings. In both cases, you'll listen to the episode and you'll be like, wow, that person sounds like a nice person. But do you ever wonder, like, are they actually, like when we're not recording, are they actually that nice and that empathetic and that lovely? And in both cases, it is an enthusiastic yes with an exclamation point. First episode I want you to know about is 311, Peter Montoya. He's actually both of these people have been on the podcast twice. Peter Montoya in 311, he gives us tips for having effective political conversations. How fun is that? Given the world we live in, this is a skill that all of us need to have. And he does it from this empathetic point of view. It is a great, great conversation. So that's episode 311. I'll link that below in this episode description. Second one, the lovely, the wonderful, the enthusiastic, probably another expressive communicator, Amy K. Hutchins. Way back in the day, in episode 138, she taught us how to successfully navigate your toughest conversations with intention and empathy. She has this brilliant way of using conversations to help, you know, drive your goals forward, improve your relationships, just like get you everything that you want. And this conversation with Amy was just a masterclass in just communication. And again, Amy Kay, She's just lovely as a human being. So check her out. Look both of them up. Peter Montoya, Amy Kay. Look them up online. Their websites are great. Amazing content on both of them. But I'll link Amy Kay's episode below as well. Okay, friends, I hope you found this episode useful. I mean, honestly, when I think about some of the things that have been the most impactful in my life and definitely in my relationships, knowing this framework has been so helpful because, again, it's a simple thing, right? You fit people into four boxes and, you know, maybe we fit perfectly in them. Maybe there's some gray areas, but it's a nice way to systematically think about how you might have better conversations with people. And that's really what a lot of our relationships boil down to, is being able to communicate effectively, empathetically, and make sure that, you know, everybody who's in that conversation is being seen and heard and understood. So I really hope you found this episode useful. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity. And the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.